Well, tonight I'm going to share with you a message about overcoming worry. You know, worry is just replaying and replaying negative thoughts over and over in our mind. And a lot of the time it's prompted by a circumstance or a situation, but most of the time it's thinking about or imagining what could happen. You know, even if it's initiated by some negative circumstance in our life, the worry part is what we do with that and how we play that out and where it goes from there. You know, and it just is so much a part of our life that I'm just telling you, we all deal with this. It's one of those universal things that some deal with it better than others, but we all deal with it. Every day you have the opportunity to worry about something. Anybody worried about something today? You know, one day I was trying to get a hold of Carmen, and you know, nowadays we're so blessed. We got these cell phones, everybody's got them. And so, you know, blessing or curse, you can get a hold of your loved one anytime. But then when you're calling them and you can't get a hold of them, automatically you start thinking, what's wrong? And the longer it takes to get a hold of them, the more you worry. What's wrong? What's wrong? I finally got a hold of her. Everything was fine. But we all deal with that all the time. And you know what? If you've got kids, you automatically get a whole lot of reason to worry. Yeah, it goes with the territory. When they get sick, well, when they go to school, when they get a driver's license, then we all worry, right? And I found out, even adult children, in fact, for me, you know, I didn't worry about my kids that much when they were little or when they were teenagers, but once they became adults, that's when the worry battle really started for me, because then they think that they don't have to do what you tell them anymore. And all you can do for them sometimes is pray. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else have adult kids? You know what I'm saying, right? But we worry about all kinds of things. Here we are, we're in tax season, right? We worry about taxes, we worry about work, you can worry about school, you can worry about bosses and teachers and coworkers. Sometimes we even worry about the weather. How about that 0-degree baloney we got this year? I mean, and we worry about, is it going to be too icy to be able to get to church? I'm glad we're past that this year now. Yeah, but all kinds of things. There's always something to worry about. In fact, some people, they are self-proclaimed worriers, you know. They almost brag about being a worrier, like it's some kind of badge that I'm a responsible person, I worry. And, you know, they almost make it like a good thing, like, hey, I got responsibilities, so of course I worry. By the way, I just want to say, we all should have responsibilities. I mean, if you read the Bible, you'll find out that we all have responsibilities. And there's, for all of us, there's things that we're supposed to do. And we should fulfill our responsibilities. Nowhere does the Bible teach that you can shirk your responsibilities. No, we all have to fulfill our responsibilities. But you know what? We ought to be able to do that without worrying. We need to get free from worry. We need to overcome worry. And when we worry, we're just taking more upon ourselves than what the God of the universe ever intended. That's a burden that he never intended for us to bear. So what have you been worrying about? Don't worry about it. Don't you hate it when somebody tells you not to worry? Like, that helps. You know what I'm saying? Well, there is one time that it helps, or at least it should help. And that's when Jesus is the one telling you, don't worry about it. I mean, what if Jesus was telling you, you know, that situation? Don't worry about it. I believe that the Bible was written for us. It wasn't written for the people that Jesus spoke it to. They heard him. It was written so you and I could hear what he said. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Beginning of verse 25, and Jesus says it very plainly. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, I just want to stop right here. And he's saying, don't worry about your life. I mean, what's big in your life? What's important in your life? What is it that you've been worrying about? Well, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. That sounds big to me. Now, he goes on here and he starts saying, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you're going to put on. And most of us, we just kind of skate right through that because most of us haven't been worrying about what we're going to eat or drink or wear or any of those kinds of things. We're so blessed. No, we spend our days worrying about something less important than those, right? But even if it was our very life, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Am I preaching it right? Did he actually say that? Don't worry about your life? Or you're like, Lord, don't you see the things going on in our world? Don't you know what I'm dealing with? Well, we'll get to some of that later. You're not the first one to say those things. He says, is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. I'll get there. Or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, there's a little bit of confusion here. It's a little bit lost in the translation of those words because he's not talking about a cubit adding to your height. He's not talking about how can you, by taking thought, add a foot and a half to your height. No, that's not what Jesus was talking about. These same words were also used in reference to a period of time. And he's saying, who of you can add even just one day to your life by worrying? You can't. Now, you can shorten your life by worrying, but you can't add even a single day to your life by worrying. And he tells us how futile it is, how absolutely fruitless it is. And yet somehow people become convinced that there's something valid in worrying. That somehow that, you know, if I worry about it, I'm you know, it's... No, Jesus said it's not going to do anything. It will accomplish absolutely nothing. And so here's his words again. He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about it. In an article in MSN, Lorenzo Cohen at MD Anderson, he was at the cancer center. He said, there's ample evidence that negative thoughts and feelings can be harmful to the body. Stress decreases the effectiveness of your immune system and at the same time creates inflammation in the body and can cause headaches, heart disease, joint problems, weight gain, and all kinds of other problems. So when we think that worry is harmless, oh, we are so wrong. Anytime we do something that the Scripture tells us not to do, there's a reason that it tells us not to do that. There's a reason. You see, Jesus loves you. You knew that, right? Because the Bible tells you so. He loves you. And when he says, don't worry, he's saying it because he loves you. It is not a harmless sin. I'm just letting that soak for a minute because I know there's a whole lot of people that think it's not a sin. Well, let me just explain it to you this way. When you do something that Jesus says not to do, that's a sin. If Jesus says, don't do this, and you do it anyway, that's a sin. I know that's hard to swallow because in our culture, worry's just kind of this thing that, oh, well, you can't help it. If you're going to get victory over worry, if you're ever going to get to the place where you overcome it and you really are doing what Jesus said, not worrying, you're going to have to decide that you can. Because as long as you think that you can't help it, well, you can't. You're going to have to decide that you can win. And I believe that there are some scriptural principles here tonight that are going to help us do that. But most people, they just don't want to put worry in the sin category. But once we accept the fact that it's disobedience, you know, and we decide, see, here's how we justify a lot of it. We just think it's a necessary evil. Okay, well, worry's not a good thing, but it just, you know, it's just the way it is. No, you got to decide that you really can get victory over it, that you really can get to the place where worry is no longer robbing your peace and robbing your sleep and robbing your health and so much more. Verse 28, he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Now, men don't worry about clothing much, right? And again, see, we just skate past that one because we're so blessed. We don't worry about having clothes to wear. And yet we seem to find so many things to worry about. Some big, some huge, but most of them not so much. And yet we worry. Why do you worry about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about stuff. He's going to take care of it. And then he says this at the end of that. He says, O you of little faith. We need to make the connection here. When we worry, we got little faith. Because anytime we're worrying, we're not really believing that God's going to take care of it. It's little faith. We got to get to the place where our faith is big enough. You know what? I don't have to worry because my God is taking care of it. Think about the one who's saying, don't worry here. He's the creator of the universe. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for him. That's who is saying, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. I believe it is a loving God saying to us, not as some, you know, rebuke as though he were getting after us, but it is a loving God telling us, we don't have to. Don't worry. And when we do, it's little faith. You got to decide not to worry. Verse 31, he says, therefore, do not worry. There it is again. Do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Now, if you didn't have food, clothes, would you be worried? Oh, how much we worry about things. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And you see, I know that there are real needs in your life, whether they're material or needs in your family relationships, or maybe it's a need in your physical body. There's all kinds of needs in our lives. I mean, here's the one thing that's true about all of them. Our Heavenly Father already knows. He knows what we have need of. And what Jesus is telling us here is not that we can seek the kingdom and so we can all just quit our jobs because God's going to take care of us. No, that's not at all what he's saying here. But he's saying that when God is first in our life, we don't have to worry about that stuff. Our Father knows, and he's going to take care of us. He says, don't worry. Oh, how we ought to get to that place. And I'm really talking to me probably the most tonight. Over the years, I have not really been a worrier, but this year has been a challenge. And it's amazing how many things I've managed to worry about. I don't worry about money. I used to didn't worry about some other things I've been worrying about, so I'm not going to say I'm never, ever gonna. But I want to tell you something about worrying about money and about things that's very true. See, most people think that if they just had more, then they wouldn't worry about it. Wrong. I've seen this over and over. The guy with a little 10-foot John boat, he goes and he pushes it out on the pond, and he fishes for a little while without a care in the world. And when he's done, he drags the boat up on the bank and goes home with a smile. And the guy with the 50-foot yacht, it's just such a big deal to even get that boat out on the water. And then when he does, it's got so many gadgets and so many things on it that can go wrong, and there's so much to worry about. And it's such a big hassle that by the time he's done, he's worn out and exhausted and more stressed than when he left. If you just had some more stuff. You get that $700 cell phone. Now, some of you are going, what? And some of you are like, yeah. Oh, this will get rid of your worries. Oh, no, it won't. First of all, it's going to mess up. It's not going to work right. It's not doing what you want. And then you drop the stupid thing, and now it's not working at all. And I'm telling you, some people, they go into this panic attack like they're acting like an addict going through withdrawals. You know, what am I going to do? I'm not going to have a phone for 3 days till the new one gets here. Stuff. We think if we just had more stuff, if we just had enough, if I had enough money. See, some people in this world, they actually think that money can fix everything, and I'm telling you, it won't. You just watch them for a little while. See how it fixed their life. Because it's never enough. It's such a deception. And people worry about stuff, worry about what they have and don't have. Instead, how wonderful it would be to get to the place where we just say, Lord, you're my provider. Father, you said you know what I have need of, and I trust you to take care of it. You see, that's freedom. That's where we want to be. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And this is where worry really kicks in. Because a lot of the time, yes, there are difficulties and challenges that we're dealing with in life, but worry is about, well, what's going to happen now? So I lost my job. What's going to happen? How am I going to provide? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? And the worry really starts. It's about tomorrow. And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. It's all about what could happen. We start imagining what could happen. And we end up dwelling on negative thoughts, focusing on negative circumstances. Sometimes they're real, sometimes they're imagined. This past year, I think, has been a year of more worry than normal for a lot of people. It's just, you know, brought a lot of worry because none of us really knew exactly what was going to happen, how things were going to go. And it's that unknown and not being able to control, you know, how things are going to go. You know, that's what we worry about, is the things, those unknown things that we can't control. Worries about getting COVID. Worries if your loved one got it. Worries about the severity. Worries about the mandates. And worries about jobs. And worries about income. And I have to tell you, I have struggled with that so much this year. Waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure everything out over and over and over. losing sleep, not being able to get it out of my mind, you know, praying and yet struggling, how are we going to do this? And once I get direction, then worrying about what the opposition is going to be and who's the fallout, who's going to be upset and who's going to leave the church, and on and on and on it goes. And the whole time, knowing that I just got to do the best I can to obey the Lord, and please the Lord, and yet I'm worrying about it. So, if you're struggling with worry, playing it over and over in your mind, I understand your struggle. But worrying about all those things didn't change one bit for the better. And it probably made me sick. But I'm just telling you, it doesn't accomplish anything. So the first thing we have to do is we have to make a choice not to worry. Again, don't say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Decide that you're going to stop worrying. Decide. See, you say, how are you going to forgive that person? You know what? The first step to forgiving somebody that you really, really having a hard time forgiving, the first step is you got to decide you're going to forgive them. And if you're going to overcome worry, the first step is you got to decide, I'm not going to be a worrier anymore. It's a stress. It's like sand in the machinery of life. It causes all kinds of problems. You worry about your children, your finances, your health. I'm telling you, it chokes out the Word of God in your life. It keeps you from being fruitful and effective for the Lord. When Jesus explains the parable of the sower, he's talking about the seed of the word that was sown among weeds. And in Luke 8:14, he says this, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, he's talking about the seed of the word of God. And he's talking about seed that was sown among thorns or weeds. And he says the first weed there that he mentions is cares. It's where we're consumed with the cares of life, with the stress, the worries of life. And he says that it will choke out the seed of the Word of God. Let me just tell you. It can happen in any area of your life when you start worrying about something. It keeps you from being fruitful and effective. I know when we were building this building, you know, I would come over here every day, and almost every day there would be something that was messed up, something that was wrong. The screen wasn't at the right height. They ran conduits underground to the sound booth, and they came up out there in the middle of the auditorium. I mean, it was just endless. Every day there would be something that wasn't right. And I was just like, ugh. Now here's the thing. I needed to be here. And I needed to correct the things that were wrong. But I didn't have to be stressed out about it. And how that impacted me in so many other ways. And it just wasn't necessary. But the truth is that a lot of the time, the worry itself chokes out the Word of God in your life. You know, when Carmen was dealing with health issues and dealing with cancer, and then after COVID, dealing with some heart issues, you know, we're believing God. And, you know, see, when you're sick, that's a battle. There's a worry battle, right? But I got to tell you, when your loved one is sick, I think sometimes it's even more intense, that worry battle, this battle that's going on in your mind. But here's the thing. Worry undermines your faith. Going over and over the negatives and how bad this could be and where this could go and all, it undermines your faith. You see, you hear the word and you get a hold of the word and you're saying, he heals all my diseases. But then that worry will start undermining your faith. So you got to make that choice. You know what? I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm just not going to think that way. I'm not going to allow myself to start worrying. I'm going to tear down that stronghold. You see, instead of letting worry tear down your faith, you take the word of God and you tear down that stronghold of worry. You don't allow it in your life anymore. It's so counterproductive. And when you're carrying that load of stress, you know what? You can't really be the person God wants you to be. You know, the fruit of the Spirit starts this way. Love, joy, peace. And when you're all worried and stressed out, it's hard to be loving. Now, I know none of you, but how many of you know somebody that when they're stressed out, they're not very nice? Nobody in your house, right? No. The truth is that most of us struggle with that at times. And when you're stressed out, what happens to your peace? Right out the window. And when you're stressed out, your joy level just drops. Especially if it goes on for a long time, you just get to the place where you just have no joy whatsoever. I'm telling you that worry undermines, it's counterproductive to what God wants to do in your life. You got to get it out. And it affects and infects our relationships. I want to go to this story in Luke chapter 10. Beginning from verse 38, it says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Martha says to Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? And this is the end result of worry. One of the things that happens when we worry. We worry enough, we get to the point where our attitude towards the Lord is, don't you care? She's all worried and troubled, all upset. Lord, don't you care? The disciples in the boat out on the lake, and the storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep up in the front of the boat, and they wake him up and they say, don't you care that we're about to die? Don't you care? Jesus says, where's your faith? But this is what worry does. Now, we're talking about Jesus, right? Jesus is in Martha's home. Mary's sitting at his feet. Martha's preparing dinner. She's the responsible one. And I've actually heard preachers talk about this story about how somebody has to be Martha and, you know, taken up for Martha here. Here's the thing. Yes, sometimes we have to fix dinner. Sometimes we've got things we've got to do. Sometimes we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. But I want to tell you something else. Martha might have needed to fix dinner, but she didn't need to be worried and troubled. He says, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And how often that has applied to me. You worried and troubled about many things. Here's the thing. Yeah, I needed to check on the building. Yeah, I needed to make decisions this year. Yeah, there's always responsibilities for all of us. Things that we have to do. She had the Lord in her house. And if you're making supper for Jesus, shouldn't she just have been overjoyed? Yeah. excited. Oh, this is the most wonderful thing. The Lord is in my house. I'm fixing dinner for the Lord. Instead, she's all bent out of shape. That's how foolish worry is. Gets us all crossways in our relationships. But even with the Lord, the disciples out on the boat, Lord, don't you care that we perish? First of all, again, they got Jesus in the boat. Is Jesus in your boat? Do you have Jesus in your house? Do you have Jesus in your car? In your family? Why are you all worried and troubled? You don't have to be. He says, don't worry. Don't worry. How often we miss some of the richest blessings that the Lord has put in our life because we were worried. And when we're worried, we're usually not kind or patient or loving. We tend to be grumpy and short and impatient with people and have little concern for the needs of others because we become so concerned about our worries and our troubles. You got to make the choice not to worry. We're going to go faster now. Next, you got to make a choice to pray. If you don't do the next one, you'll fail at the first one. You got to make the choice to pray. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, worry is a choice, so is prayer. It's a choice that you got to make. You got to decide that you're going to do it. We should never, ever be anxious. He says, be anxious for nothing. No worries. You pray. And you pray until the burden is lifted. You pray until you can push the worry aside. And he says, you pray with thanksgiving. So you pray until you can say, thank you, Lord, that you're my provider and you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. You can say, thank you, Lord, that you're my healer and you heal all my diseases. By your stripes, I was healed. You pray until you can say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Lord, that's your word, and I thank you that my child is going to serve the Lord with the whole heart. You pray until that burden is lifted, and then he says that the peace comes. He says, the peace which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You see, that peace will guard your heart and your mind. Now, here's the thing. Worry will try to come back. But you just have to say, no, I'm keeping my peace. I'm not accepting that back anymore. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to allow that anymore. And you got to go to the next one. You got to make a choice to not think about those things, but instead to think about the good things. The very next verse, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on such things. This past year, people have gotten so worried and upset, troubled about everything, because they're focused on all of the unholy, unpure, all of the trouble, all of the heartache, all of the evil, all of the bad things, on and on and on, instead of on the good things. No wonder they're overwhelmed. You got to focus on the good. This is what the Bible says. True, noble. If it's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, that's what you think about. If you're going to dwell on all of the negatives, I'm telling you, you will never overcome worry. You can just go ahead and concede and just say, nope, I'm just going to be a worrier until I just worry myself to death. But I'm telling you, you really can. You got to make a choice not to worry. You got to make a choice to pray. And you got to make a choice to think about the good things, to focus on the good things. You're always going to have negative stuff come your way, but you can't let it become your focus. You got to look for the good and focus on the good things. And that peace will guard your heart and your mind. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus says, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. In the King James, it says, take no thought. Oh, there's some truth there. See, this is when you don't worry, this is what you do. You take no thought. You just don't think about that. You don't think, I'm not going to think about where's my next meal going to come from? No, of course not. But I'm telling you, even the things that we worry and we struggle with, we need to stop thinking about those things. Take no thought. Quit worrying about it. Instead, we keep our minds on the good things. We get our minds on Him. I mean, when you start thinking about God and you just start dwelling on Him, you start thinking about how big He is. You start thinking about how awesome He is. You start thinking about His mercy and His goodness and how much He loves you. You start thinking about how powerful He is. I'm just telling you, everything else begins to shrink. See, we get our minds on the right things, Him being the main thing, and it's amazing how our worries start dwindling away. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace, no worries. It's because you got your mind on God. And then it gives us the next and the last point tonight. It says, because he trusts in you. That's why you get your mind on God and you keep it on Him. It's why you have perfect peace, because you trust Him. You trust Him. How can you quit worrying? You trust God. You just trust Him. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It doesn't mean there's not great battles, but you trust Him. You don't have to worry. Worry doesn't do anything. Praying, trusting God does. So let every stress, every battle, every problem that comes your way, let it be your cue to turn your mind to God and to trust Him. Every time that you find yourself starting to go over and over those negative thoughts, say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get my mind on the Lord, and I'm going to trust Him. Worry, it reveals a burden of stress and care that God doesn't want us to be under. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And for some of us, it may be pretty radical. It may take us a little while. When you have these thought patterns, it's hard to change it, but you can. You got to rewire. You got to change the way you think, and it gets easier. But you got to start where you are, and you got to start turning your thoughts to the Lord and making that decision, making that choice. So I'm gonna say, you know what? We really do have choices, and I'm gonna say it this way one last time before we pray and dismiss. Make a choice not to worry. Make a choice to pray. Make a choice to get your mind on the right things, and make a choice to trust God. You can get victory over worry. Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Oh, but it's big. Don't worry about it. It's hopeless. Don't worry about it. Trust him. Stand with me. We're going to pray.